I'm Paul Newman and I'm the pastor of Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and it's my great delight to welcome you to this videocast. It's our hope and prayer that through these simple offerings of a Bible reading and message, songs and prayers, you will be drawn close to our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is known as Trinity Sunday, when we celebrate God's self-revelation as one God, known in three persons. In the prayer that follows, I invite you to join in the words that come in capital letters. The earth is full of glory. The earth is full of blessing. The earth belongs to God. The heavens are full of truth. The heavens are full of mystery. The heavens belong to God. We are full of wonder. We are full of yearning. We belong to God. Into your world, send us. Where people hurt, send us. Where we are needed, send us. Send us out with loving kindness. Send us out with hope and joy. Amen. Now our musicians will lead us in the song 10,000 Blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. Sovereign God, all-loving, all-gracious, all-powerful, you deserve our praise. Mighty God, ever faithful, ever near, ever active, you deserve our worship. Eternal God, all goodness, all mercy, all truth, you deserve our thanks. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear our prayer, we ask. You are greater than our minds can grasp. Yet you have revealed your glory. You are before all, above all, beyond all. Yet you lived and died among us. You're at work in every situation and circumstance. Yet so often we fail to recognize your presence. For our narrowness of vision, our feebleness of faith, our spiritual blindness, forgive us, O Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear our prayer. You are there watching over us day after day. You are here by our sides until the end of the age, for you have promised it. You are here within, now and always. For our rejection of your care, our forgetfulness of your presence, and our stifling of your movement, forgive us, O Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear our prayer. Accept now our worship for all its weakness, our discipleship for all its frailty, and our service for all its limitations. Speak to us today so that we may experience more of your love, reflect more of your goodness, and live with more of your power. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear our prayer. And to you, the one God, be glory, praise, and honour today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Now, Joe Harris, who is one of our church leadership team, is going to bring our reading of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's great reflection on the gift of love. And after that, Helen and John Sayer will lead us in our prayers of intercession.
The reading's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13, and taken from the Passion Translation. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy, with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame or in disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honour. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offence. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It's more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial, but when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and set aside my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run.
As we come to this time of prayer, let's take a few moments to still our hearts and minds before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves to hear his children pray.
We want to bring our world to you. We pray especially for the protests and violence in America following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Lord, we know that you see us all exactly the same, whatever the colour of our skin, and we pray for forgiveness for the racism that still exists in the world. We pray for an end to violence and looting, and pray for your anointing on Christians to be bold in the proclamation of your love in this situation, and for wisdom in leadership to move America forward from these events. We pray for your strength and courage for each of us to speak out against racism, wherever we see it in our lives.
We pray for Whitley Bay. Many of us will spend more time in our homes and community than we've ever done before. Lord, we pray for the relationships we've made with neighbours in the last months of lockdown. We thank you for the opportunity to interact with them in a way we've never done before. As this lockdown eases, show us how we can build on this new sense of community and maintain the new friendships we have developed.
We pray for our church and the many different people within our church community. We pray for those who are still far apart from loved ones and unable to see them because of the lockdown. We pray for those who are still shielding and unable to leave their homes due to the threat of COVID-19.
Lord, we bring before you our young children, as many of them start to think about returning to school, even if just on a part-time basis. We pray that you would take away any fears or concerns they may have, and we pray for the many teachers in our congregation as they go back into schools. Keep them all safe, we pray.
We also pray for many others of us who have been on our work front lines during the lockdown, whether travelling to a place of work or working from home. Lord, you know the challenges and the frustrations we come up against. Help us to stay strong in you when we are tired or disheartened.
Lord, we pray for those who are ill or in poor health. We pray for healing for Esther Bezik and ask specifically that she might be able to go home to her family soon. We also lift up our parish nurses to you and the amazing work they've been doing during this lockdown. We ask you to protect them from illness themselves and give them the strength to continue in their service for you.
Lastly, we pray for ourselves. Lord, you know what type of week each of us has had and where we find ourselves as we look forward to the next 7 days. Give us what we need. Help us to look to you for our strength and to be as Jesus in all the different situations we find ourselves.
We offer these prayers to you, knowing that you listen. Let's now join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
In these last couple of weeks, I've been becoming very well acquainted with the manse loft just up above me. When you've lived in a house for 22 years, the loft accommodates the residents' accumulations. Toys and games, long since dispensed with, but too precious to throw away at the time. Boxes of important receipts and accounts, all now historical documents needing the tender ministrations of a shredder. A cot, a set of golf clubs, given, received, but never used. Our suitcase collection. Decorations for Christmases past, present and future. A large bin liner of Beanie Babies. My collection of 300 LPs, and don't get excited, they're all classical and not worth a lot. And a dozen complete sets of Gilbert and Sullivan operettas, all on 78 RPM shellac records, which are, by the way, worth even less. I've been in the attic because most of this stuff just has to go. We don't yet have a retirement home to go to in 3 months, but we do expect to be downsizing. In the course of all this, I came across various bits and pieces relating to some of the trips I've been so fortunate to make since coming to Whitley Bay, including the sabbatical you granted me in 2005. One bit of paper especially stuck out as I roughly sifted through piles of paper. The mission statement of Jefferson Baptist Church in Oregon, whose pastor was D. Duke and who spent time with us in Whitley Bay and churches in the Northeast early in 2008. Two things came out of finding that bit of paper. Firstly, what I want to say to you today on this Trinity Sunday, and secondly, the Holy Spirit's leading that over these next few weeks, I should do a kind of preacher's desert island discs of some of the treasured beliefs and teachings that I will take away with me, having learned them in my time here. The mission statement of Jefferson Baptist Church is summed up in three words. I love you. It calls itself the I Love You Church, and the statement begins, we are continually saying I love you to God, to each other, to the greater body of Christ, to the community around us, and to the whole world, until every person is able to say, I love you, God. Love is the core of the Christian faith, and it reminds us at every turn that we are created for, intended for, and caught up in relationships. Relationships of love. On this Trinity Sunday, we give praise for the revelation that God is not someone we relate to as an anonymous, out there thing. God is not a supreme power in control, but without care for what he has created. God is revealed as three persons expressing one reality with one identity and one set of characteristics. God who creates and sustains and cares. God who walks with us and risks himself to our response. God who lives in us, to help us bear his likeness. This God is committed to all creation in love, by love, and for love. And these three persons who are the one God are united in love for one another. What we call salvation, being set free to be who we were created by God to be, happens when we grasp that God's love is for us, for you, for me. In that well-known comment of John in his Gospel, chapter 13 and verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God has made a commitment that he repeats again and again and again. We find it first at the end of the first Genesis account of creation. We're told God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array, and by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then, later on, when he gave his law to his people through Moses, God said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. In fact, God says, I love you, and will go on loving you, even when you reject me and kill me in your hearts and minds, I will still go on loving you. When God says, I love you, he's making a commitment he intends to keep. And we tend to think that when we say, I love you, we're doing the same thing. When we say, I love you to God, we're making a commitment to worship him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our physical energy. It's saying, God, you have all of me, so I'm going to seek you in every way it's possible to seek you. In the word, that's seeking Jesus in the scriptures, through prayer, conversation with God, and observing him at work in creation and creativity. And of course, it's also saying, I'll obey you, and I'll follow your lead wherever you take me. It is a forever commitment on our part. I'm going to talk a bit more about worshipping and expressing our love to God next week. But this week, let's hang out with the idea that when we say, I love you to God, we're making a commitment to love our neighbour as God loves us. And that includes four things. First, loving our neighbour includes loving all those who are on this pilgrimage of following Christ. Now, frankly, that's a pretty odd bunch of people. And we are all called to forget all the differences because there is one thing we have in common. In his little book, The Old Core, Edward Joy tells the story of the early days of the Salvation Army through the events at one of its meeting places. Every so often, the Sunday meeting would be attended by a well-known and influential lady called Lady B. She was known as someone who was generous in her hospitality and in the support of local charities. And when she attended, she was not left to sit on the benches with everyone else, but invited to sit with the officers on the platform. One evening, Lady B was particularly moved by the prayer, preaching and singing, and wished to make a fresh commitment to God, to serve him. And when the invitation came, she made her way to the prayer bench at the front of the hall. The Salvation Army welcomed all kinds of people to its meetings, and one of those who had come part of the way through the evening was a gentleman known as Dirty Jimmy. Whenever he came and wherever he sat, other members of the congregation would try to slide along the seats to get away from him and his little friends who he brought with him. Let's say he was a good deal less than fragrant, and those who sat too close quickly began to itch. Imagine then the horror when, before anyone could do anything, Dirty Jimmy, moved by God through the same prayer, preaching and singing, decided this was the evening for him to embrace all the Lord had for him. And he knelt right next to Lady B. The captain came up behind him and said, "No, Jimmy, you need to kneel along here," intending to move him to the end of what they call the mercy seat. But before the captain had done, Lady B put out her gloved hand onto the captain's arm and said, "No, let him alone. We're both seeking the same Saviour." We too easily allow differences in our finances, personality, birth, cultural awareness, intelligence, employment, race, to get in the way of our commitment to love, and yet Jesus never stops talking about it. If we say, "I love you," to each other, which is not only what we do when we become church members, but when we have become Christians, then we're committed to forgive one another and to diligently seek real unity in authentic fellowship. It saddens me deeply when people in church cannot let go of their petty differences. As long as we hold on to them, we break the body of Christ and prevent it from being what the Lord calls it to be. This commitment will mean that we pray for one another and serve and encourage one another. Thirdly, when we say, "I love you," to God, we're making a commitment to love not just the people in our own fellowship, but those in the wider or greater body of Christ, other Christians of other traditions. This means we will seek for unity among us. Remember the story of David du Plessis from last week, who, as a Pentecostal leader, was led to build relationships with people from very different Christian traditions. When God sent me to speak to the leaders of various churches about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, "The Holy Spirit told me I had to be forgiving. Forgiveness is unconditional. You really can't love anyone unless you're willing to forgive everyone." That will then lead us to pray for God's blessing on them and do all we can to help them grow with no spirit of competition. It saddens me deeply when I happen upon websites or programmes on YouTube that seem to exist solely for one group of Christian people to attack the ministries of other Christian people. Then we say, "I love you," to the community in which we're set. Our home community, in our case, Whitley Bay. When lockdown is gone, are we ready to continue to be the friends of our neighbours with whom we have stood on streets on Thursday evenings applauding the frontline workers? Are we going to go on praying for them by name and making sure their everyday needs are covered? Are we going to do all we can to share the love of Christ in deed and word? Lastly, when we say, I love you to God, we're also making a commitment of love to the wider world. We're making a commitment to understand and serve people of many cultures, many nations, and all religions, for whom true life only comes through Jesus, even though they may well never know it in this life. It means coming to terms with what the phrase is unconditional love and free grace and the universal Christ really mean in this world in which God loves every single person as his own creation and has prepared a place for every one of them to share his eternity. We sometimes think of love as being almost ethereal, something out there in the ether of existence. Receiving the love of God and loving him in return becomes evident in the ordinary everydayness of human life and fellowship. Our freedom to love as God has loved us flows directly from the tears, sweat, and blood of Calvary. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, it is our prayer that just as you have loved us to the uttermost, so we would love all those you have created in and through your love, Lord Jesus Christ. You were willing to lay down everything to express that love. You were willing to die on the cross so that everyone might know your love. Help those of us who know you to live by that love, to share that love, and to be examples of it in everything we are, in everything we say, and in everything we do. Amen. Watch this video with me that calls us to live out God's love. When that is finished, our musicians will lead us again in the song, Great is Your Faithfulness, O Lord. Thank you. So let us leave this time of worship with love in our hearts, light in our eyes, and life in our souls. Let us go in the service of God, the three in one, to proclaim what he has done for us and share what he has given us to his glory. Amen.